But I do want to share a little bit out of, I mentioned 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the sake of time, I'm going to, rather than read through it and then go back, we'll talk about it as we go through. But I woke up at about 3:30 this morning, and the Lord put some things on my heart and my mind, which often is the case when I have opportunity to come and speak to a group or to a church or even to an individual. And really thinking about what it means to be an ambassador, as Justin said. What does it mean to be a safe place? In fact, we're thankful. Some of our group is staying with Rock and Margie that most of you know, Stemple. They've been friends of Stars for 20 years. Some of us are staying over at Paul and Sue Oliver's. We've stayed there 4 or 5 times now as a group. They're kind enough to let us stay there, and we appreciate that. But as I awakened this morning and was talking to the folks that were staying with us in our home, I had mentioned that one of the things I asked them to do was to spend some time over this next few days or week or so writing down what it means to be a safe person. What it means to be a safe person. I know you have a note sheet. We're going to look at some of that, probably not get through it all because of time, but I would encourage you all to think about that. As an ambassador, what does it mean to be a safe person? What do you think people expect to get when they talk to you, when they approach you, when they reach out to you, when they present their dilemma to you? We have a pastor at our church. He's been there about 8 or 9 years now, and we've been there 27 years, my wife and I. But he's been there about 8 or 9 years. I've known him for a long time. And when he came, he asked myself and a few others to sit and develop a reading that we wanted to present to people to say, this is what we are known by. This is what we want to be known by. If people hear about my home church, what do they want to know we are? And so he did some looking into some successful business owners, how they run business, how they do things that draw people. And he came across Walt Disney. Most of you would know that Disney and Walt Disney. And Walt Disney said the one thing that he wanted Disney World and Disneyland to be known for, not that people would have fun, but that people would feel safe when they came there. And I thought that was very good. And so we talked about how we wanted our home church to be a place, firstly, of safety. Certainly, we want it to be a place where the gospel is known and shared and ministered out. But we want it to be a place where people know they can come without judgment, condemnation. Sounds very simple on paper, but it doesn't always happen in churches and in Christian gatherings. There's a man I read from named Kurt Thompson. He's a neurobiologist. He's a psychiatrist and a pastor. And he wrote 3-4 books now. The first one was Anatomy of the Soul, then The Soul of Shame, The Soul of Desire. And I just ordered his new book. It's sitting at my house waiting for me when I get home. But he writes a lot about what Romans 12 talks about, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. But he writes about how we actually are changed. It isn't just theoretical. It isn't just something that sounds nice and something that we can hope for that maybe it could happen. But he makes a case how people are literally changed in that way. But he said that the main reason that people struggle is because they're dealing with shame. And I want to read to you just an excerpt that I had read before, but it came to me about 3:30 this morning when I awakened and was sitting in the living room just thinking. He says this. He says that we want to focus on healthy, safe, interpersonal relationships as humans, as ambassadors, rooted and grounded in the love of God. Most of our group has shirts rooted and grounded in love from Ephesians 3:17. That's kind of one of our mottos that we try to share with each other. We are rooted and grounded in the love of the Lord with grace, by grace, but also the love for each other. So he says that they are found and strengthened as an individual and that they are being known in a safe environment. In other words, people are looking for somewhere they can come and feel like they belong, feel like they can be known and won't be judged and condemned. When I walked into my church 27 years ago, you couldn't have told me there wasn't a spotlight on me saying, loser, and everybody else was okay. I was convinced of that, kind of like Justin said. Nobody told me that. That was where I was, and that's what I thought. The soul of shame was so deeply embedded that I couldn't break away from that in and of my own strength, but it was so heavy. Thankfully, some people that I still fellowship with today welcomed my wife and I in. He goes on to say this, we tell stories because we are narrative creatures. People like to talk about themselves and what's going on in their lives. Again, as Justin said, we want to be listeners of that. It's not so easy. It's not the easiest thing to do. It doesn't mean we don't offer suggestions. It doesn't mean we don't look at the scriptures as to how people can change. But really, we, the church, the body, needs to grow into a place where we are safe people. That embassy is a place that people can run to and want to run to. And they know, as we saw in the video, when they get there, they will be welcomed in, not somebody standing at the gate. If they would have stood at the gate and asked her what qualified her to come in, she would have been killed. She never would have made it. So let's look at some of our scriptures that we have. Sorry, seems to be going backwards. My apologies. Okay, here we go. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul says this, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one by the flesh. So again, I'm fast forwarding for sake of time to my commentary, if you will. Can we see an individual as a person created by the same God who made us? I would have thought that the God that made the people in the church I walked into was different. I was raised in church as well, but I wasn't sure that the one who made me, who was all screwed up on drugs heavily for 15 out of 20 years, was made by the same God. And I know a lot of times when I meet with folks, they tell me that, whether it's their perception or whether it's actually happening, that when they approach someone for help, they are looked at as different, and they can tell that. Goes on to say, realize that they have the same right to the grace and love of the Lord that we have. I don't think anybody in here would disagree with that, but I want us to think about that when somebody calls or somebody comes in or approaches us. Are we thinking, are we seeing that in the same way that we saw it in our own lives when he came and rescued us? Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. I heard a man at a church down our way last summer. He was speaking, and he said something that I hadn't thought about. This verse here was presented to me very early on and really was part of what the Lord used to change my life. A man from Ireland was here, Tom Eakins. He's spoken here before. Some of you may remember him. He's not able to travel because of health right now. But he said to me, he said, you know, if anybody is in Christ, he's a new creation. I said, do you mean to tell me that God actually sees me as a different person than I was the day before he came into my life? And he said, he does. You're a new creation. Well, this man I heard last summer said, not only have I been moved, we saw the slide earlier, not only have I been moved from condemnation and eternity apart from God in the orphanage, if you will, I've been moved into the adoptive home when I became saved, when I became a Christian. But this man said last year, he said, but our minds should be thinking differently too, that we no longer see the individual that's in our lives as somebody who was without hope and without help. I know our time is short again, but I know it must be difficult. I don't have children. I've never lived with a child or a spouse who has been addicted. I was that person. I was that child, that son, and I was that husband for the first 6 years of our marriage that was just wrecking the home. I mean, wrecking it. I don't know what it's like to be on the other side. But I've met now over the 20 plus years I've been working with Staris with a lot of families, and they shared with me from their hearts that it is greatly difficult, yet all they really want to know if there is hope. If there is hope. If there is hope for this person in their home, in their church, in their workplace, wherever it might be, to be different. And a lot of our time is spent encouraging families to stay and pray, as Nikki mentioned, for 20 years. My mother prayed for me 20 years. I wonder, would I give up after 5, after 10, after 15, after 20? And I'm grateful she didn't, others didn't give up. So we're new in Christ, not just we're now saved and we're going to be with him for eternity, but our thinking should be different. The way we see people. All these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. That's what Jesus came and did. He reconciled man to God. He's done that for us, for any of us here that are saved. He has done that and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And Nikki kind of alluded to it a little bit, you know, somewhat to that. I stand here and I'm not gifted in very many things, but what I know is that God has given me the opportunity to pass on what he gave me. And I pinch myself too, thinking, are you sure you picked the right person to try to do anything like this? Why don't you pick somebody that's an eloquent speaker, that's somebody that's charismatic, somebody who really knows how to draw people and all that sort of thing? But he's done that for each of us. He's called each of us who have become believers to be used by him in some way, shape, or form. And I know, obviously, every church has a multitude of places where we can do that. But I want to encourage us to be involved with that. It's not easy to reach out to whomever it might be and to serve him in the ways. So thankfully, we have ways provided for that. When we have people involved that are coming in with addictions and with difficulties and troubles, kind of as Nikki mentioned too, we need to let them sit for a while and grow and change in him. But in our minds, thinking, what would be a good thing for them to be involved with? He says, Paul says this, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. Just going to take 2 or 3 minutes and look at some of the qualifications of an ambassador. I would urge you to, Justin mentioned, we don't need to look at all the list of things. If you go on a website and Google and check on the qualifications required for an ambassador of the U.S., you'll see about 84, 85 characteristics that are required of an ambassador. And yes, every one of them would be very similar. You would say, well, that's what a believer should be. That's what a Christian should be. That's who they should be. But a couple of things, if you have your note sheet, you can certainly look at that and write on there if you like. To be a good member, a member of good standing with the home country. What does that mean? It means that we need to know, and the folks around us need to know, that we are qualified, that we are saved, that we are able to meet with someone, to sit with someone, to welcome someone. We need to know that. Believe in what the home country stands for. Kind of as Justin said, again, just trying to pull these things together a little bit. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that this individual that's strung out or that's involved in something, who knows what, can change? Because I'll tell you, there was enough people in my life that was convinced I would be the way I was the rest of my life. And that changed. And I was grateful that the ones who doubted weren't correct. Demonstrate a knowledge of the country represented. I know you do Bible studies here, you do groups and things. We need to be learning. If we're ambassadors, we don't just go and tell people that the Lord can help them and good luck to you, but we want to help them. We want to learn ourselves and be growing and learning the things that we need to do. Expectations. A general knowledge of what your country offers and how it differs from the foreign land. One of the criticisms, if you will, rightly so, is a lot of folks who share with people today don't look much different than the world. There needs to be a distinction. I meet people sometimes and they'll say to me, I can't imagine that you were that bad off into drugs. And I said, I'm glad for that. I'm glad that I don't look like the same person I was. I don't act like the same person I was. And I'm glad. I don't always see it because I'm me. But one of the things that I think is good in this too is as you fellowship as a church body is to remind each other of the changes that you see in one another. That can go a long way to help. And then the ability to communicate with the foreign land in which you reside. Again, these are an ambassador for a nation, but we can see the correlation to them. Can we talk to people about what God offers and the hope he gives? In our workshop that we present, that we presented in Alaska, and we've done, we presented one we've done some work here and down at Westview Baptist Church in Martinsburg, and we talk about some of the things that we would talk about with folks that are looking for help and hope, and some of the things not to talk about. We want to do that and learn some of those things. How do we communicate with people? How can we be a listener? What does that require? And then lastly, the roles of an ambassador. I'm going to ask the musicians to come up. We're going to pray and close just in a moment with a song. But the roles of an ambassador is to accept the one seeking refuge without exception into the embassy. Accept them without exception into the embassy. To give rest while communicating with the home nation for guidance on their needs. Give rest while communicating with the home nation. Going back to others, I have a friend I'm meeting with. They have needs. They have things that they need covered. Can you help me with that? Certainly, you could go to Pastor Keith or the other leadership, but I can't speak for him wholly, but I know that he's got a lot going on. So the idea is to build a network, and I hope you're doing that, of folks who can discuss those things and talk about those things. And I know the elders would do that here, but also for all of us to do that. And then to assist individuals in the ways that will be doable, to not expect more from people than they can manage. Just the last slide, Justin showed this earlier. I just want to keep this picture in there in our minds. That line with the arrow, that's Jesus walking someone from the orphanage to the adoptive home. We won't sing today, but there's a song that we would sing from time to time. And it says that the chasm was far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. But your love never fails, which is the title of the song. That chasm is that arrow, that line. And Jesus comes into the orphanage, and he chooses the ones that he does, and he walks them into the adoptive home, which is hope of eternity with him. But as Justin mentioned, we're not there yet. So we are the body that folks are coming into. And I picture somebody sometimes standing at the door of the adoptive home, the embassy, who was a Christian, and they would stand there and grill someone as to what qualifies them to receive that which God is offering, which is salvation in grace through Jesus Christ, and a person not knowing. I know Alistair Begg has been in the news lately for some things, and I'll not get into that, but there's a video of his that I've mentioned before called The Man on the Middle Cross. If you get a chance to pull that up on YouTube, you should watch that. The Man on the Middle Cross by Alistair Begg. And he talks about the thief on the cross. And he says, the thief on the cross, he says, if you know that story, he says to Jesus, to save me, you know, essentially I'm paraphrasing, and Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And so the thief goes to the gates of heaven, if you will. And somebody, the angel's there, and he says, what qualifies you to be in here? Do you understand the doctrine of grace? And the thief says, I never heard of that. Do you go to Bible study? No, I've never been to one. Do you understand any of this stuff? He says, what qualifies you to come in? And the thief says, the man on the middle cross said I could. And that's a lasting thought, I hope, for us. When Jesus tells the person coming in towards the embassy into our lives that they can come, we're not the arbiters of whether they can or not. If he's invited them, we are simply his hands and feet to welcome them.